ABC Radio Australia.
Space travel and space exploration are not generally associated with the Pacific, but a small delegation from the islands was present at the recent International Astronautical Congress in Sydney. It's classed as the world's premier global space event and attracts more than 6,000 participants every year. So Lucy Cooper has been investigating exactly what space ambitions in the Pacific may have.
We are here to listen, learn, and create linkages and partnerships, look for opportunities, collaborations in this industry of space technology.
That's Sunny Williams, the Cook Islands Assistant Minister to the Prime Minister. By invitation from the Australian Space Agency, he and fellow delegates from the Pacific attended the International Astronautical Congress, along with thousands of other invitees from across the globe. He said that interest in the space sector isn't about establishing a Pacific Space Agency or building rockets. It's about utilising the technology to benefit the lives of those who live in the region.
The example we use in the region is when Tonga experienced its volcano eruption a couple of years back. They were totally severed. Their communication to the world, their cable connection was totally severed, and they were left in the dark, blind virtually. And fortunately, you had applications like space-based telecommunication systems that helped them out. But the Tongan experience clearly showed us that we need to have multi-systems, and space-based is going to be crucial for us going into the future.
He wants to see it applied for a range of issues.
We have a massive ocean in the region. And for the Cook Islands alone, it's 2.2 million square kilometers of ocean in our EEZ zones, and that requires significant amounts for the region of surveillance for security purposes, for fishing fleets that come through our region. And also, we're very interested in the space-based technology in terms of weather detection and changing weather patterns, intensifying cyclones through the region. Also, sea surface, seawater temperature rises, sea level rises, and so forth.
Mr. Williams is looking forward to sharing the benefits of space technology with the Cook Islands government.
In 2005, we were hit with five cyclones, all category five cyclones that came through the Cook Islands waters. We only had, in some cases, about a week's notice. With this developing advancement in space-based detection and surveillance, we should be able to get better and earlier warning, maybe pushing it out to a couple of months, a few months, because we are able to track trends that's happening in the weather patterns and the sea currents in our ocean. So it means giving us more time to preparedness for cyclones and what may eventuate.
Also in attendance was John Strickland, the Director of Emergency Management for the Cook Islands. He believes the Pacific should be at the forefront of integrating space technology into everyday life.
For us with the Cook Islands, there's been a lot of focus on mainly on land, right, on earth or land, ocean, but not much on in space. And this is something that is of importance. And I reckon the Pacific Islands should be part and parcel of that, should have that part of the technology and share amongst all the Pacific Islands.
The benefits the sector can offer emergency management was front of mind for Mr. Strickland.
I'm looking at this from the big picture. Availability of this technology will certainly improve how we make our decision making. Secondly, with all these resources available, it also something positive to advanced planning of what will be our next step should something of serious nature ever happens. At least we have all these informations available. And of course, it's all about safety for our people and properties.
But whilst he wants the Pacific to embrace the opportunities the space sector offers, he doesn't want local knowledge to be lost.
I want to reinforce the importance of traditional knowledge. They all go in hand. It must be recognized. You can't just rely on science, technology. Have to bear in mind the importance of traditional knowledge.
For Salad Dr. George Carter, he wants the Pacific to have a seat at the space table.
We're not saying we're going to build rockets tomorrow. We're not building a space agency tomorrow. But for the Pacific, it's not hardware. For the Pacific, it's about awareness, it's about education, and it's about taking step at a time.
As a senior fellow at the Department of Pacific Affairs and director of the Pacific Institute at the Australian National University, he attended the largest space conference in the world to ensure the Pacific is not left behind.
We are the region that is not involved much in terms of space multilateralism, space diplomacy. Being engaged in space dialogue is good diplomacy, it's good business. But it's also about reviving our knowledge. And that's what we've seen this week. We still have our sustainable development, and we still have our climate priorities that need to be, take the helm. But we also need a gradual policy and of strategy that sees us in the future.
A key focus at the conference was that if Australia wants to advance and remain competitive in the space sector, it must engage with the Indo-Pacific region. One proposal floated was the establishment of rocket launch sites in PNG and the Solomon Islands.
It's important for the Pacific countries like Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea to engage with Australia to have robust regulation so that such activity does not impact on jurisdiction of these countries.
Dr. Carter also wants to incorporate culture and Indigenous astronomy into any future space ventures.
We also have a unique story, a unique contribution in terms of our Indigenous astronomy, which is not just thousands but tens of thousands of years old. The navigation of our islands through our seafaring using stars and moon, that's been our narrative and our story, and we went to revive that.
And that there is Salah, Dr. George Carter, Director of the Pacific Institute at the Australian National University, ending that report from Lucy Cooper.